Isn't it great to be a Christian?
Amen.
Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And all together we said,
Amen.
Amen. That's Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. You can turn there and find it in your Bible, and I hope that that's a passage of Scripture that will be of great encouragement to you during your life here on this earth as you try to live for our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, our lesson today, we want to talk some about abundant living. I'm going to read several verses that lead down to Jesus saying this, and I'm going to say in advance that chapter 10 of the book of the Gospel of John has a lot of great preaching in it. And reading the verses, I'm going to do my very best, Bill, not to preach on the things other than what I intended to preach upon, but I make that promise. I hope I don't break it. In chapter 10, I want to read the verses leading up to what we want to talk about. Jesus is teaching, of course. If you have a red letter edition, you know that when Jesus is speaking, those letters are in red. And so you know that that Jesus is teaching something very important. And he says to us here that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now that's where we're going, all right? But he said some things prior to that. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. And to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he puts forth all of his own, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Now, since we're not sheep people, we're not shepherd people, we probably don't really grasp what is being explained to us. But he's just simply saying that sheep that belong to a shepherd become acquainted with him, and that they follow him just even at the sound of his voice. And that's important, for he's leading us to the point we want to get to. I want to read some more. He said, a stranger may simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but hey, guess what? They did not understand what those things were which he was saying to them. So Jesus said again, truly, truly, I say to you that I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief, we've already read this verse, the thief, you see, comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. If I knew the author of this poem, I'd give them credit, but I don't. I'm going to give it to you in just a second. Now, you don't have to tell how you live each day. You don't have to tell if you work or if you play. You don't have to tell how you live each day, for a tried true barometer serves in its place. However you live, it shows in the face. The faults, the deceit that you wear in your heart will not stay inside where it first got its start. Sin you embody but a thin veil of lace. What you wear in your heart, you wear in your face. If your life is unselfish, if for others you live, not what you can get, but how much you can give, if you live close to God in His infinite grace, well, you don't have to tell it, brother. It shows in the face. Now, what I think the author of that poem was trying to tell us is the same thing that Jesus said here. Now, the author of the poem is not inspired as our Lord is, but he's trying to say that living an abundant life takes some effort. I know my face ain't no star, but I don't mind it because, you see, I'm behind it. It's the ones in front who get the jar. That's not really a very good attitude for life, is it? And yet it's an attitude that sometimes we have. That is, that we go through life and people can tell what we might be thinking just by the way we look. Not much of an attitude, but it's probably one of the more popular ones of our culture. Paul tells us in the book of Philippians, chapter 4 and at verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And then in verse 13 of the same book and chapter, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I like verse 17, I know you do too. And that is that my God shall supply all of your needs according to the power or the glory by Jesus Christ or in Jesus Christ. Life is really not all that hard. The preacher of old in the book of Ecclesiastes says, obey God, listen to His word, sin not. It's really that simple, isn't it? A lot of times we think of life as being so complicated. The greatest life to be lived is the Christian life. It's the greatest life ever to live. Jesus says, I am come that they might have abundant life, or that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly, exclusively. If you run a reference on this word abundant, you'll get a lot of different synonyms or different words that you might want to use, like plentiful. Or one of my college professors' favorite things to say when he started his class, he would tell us, now you'll need to take copious notes. Now I felt like I was way out of place because I had to go home and look up copious. I didn't even know what kind of notes I was supposed to be taking. A copious just means overflowing, plenty of them, lots of them, carefully, plentiful, if you will. Some dictionaries would say lavish. Jesus is telling us, I am come, not like a thief, to kill or destroy, but that we might have life here on this earth as well as in the world to come, lavishly, plentifully. Way above what we might, well, what did we just quote? Exceedingly above all that we ask and or think. That's what God, that's what Christ brings to us and for us. Now, how do you do that? I mean, with all the knuckleheads in this world, how do you do that? Because there's too many things that keep us sidetracked. How many of you like that word bonehead? I use that a lot in the car. And I don't, it's not me talking to Rosemary either. Okay? Boneheads. You run into a few bonehead people, Doug. I see them all the time. I wonder how they got their license. I don't know what they're doing on the road, actually. Most of the time, they're not on the road. They're somewhere else in the median and maybe even on the sidewalk. You know, like the fellow said, you don't like my driving? Get off the sidewalk. There's a lot of people out here that keep us from living the abundant life. Now, how, brethren, are we going to do that? Well, I've got the answers for you this morning. I've got them all down pat. I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to get them to use in my life, okay? But the first one I want to say to you is, number one, is to count your blessings. Not your troubles, not your problems, not all the boneheads right here and even downtown Henderson. You want to see some boneheads, you go to Dallas, you go to Houston, you go to San Antone. I'm telling you, they are flush with boneheads. They're everywhere. We don't have it so bad in Henderson, but I'm telling you, we don't want to be counted or counting our troubles, because whether you realize it or not, troubles, problems can be God's blessing in disguise. Did you know that? God's blessing in disguise. Why, there's nothing whatsoever the matter with me. Why, I'm just as healthy as I can be. I have arthritis in both my knees, and when I talk with a wheeze, Don. My pulse is weak, and my blood is thin, and, well, I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. Arch supports I have for my feet, or I wouldn't be able to walk on the street. Why, sleep is denied me most every night, and every morning, ooh, I'm a pitiful sight. My memory's failing, my head's in a spin. Why, I'm practically living on aspirin, but I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. I think my liver's out of whack. I got a pain way up here in my back. I'm overweight and I can't get thin, but I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. The moral is, as this tale unfolds, that for you and for me that are getting old, it's better to say, I'm fine with a grin, than to tell folks the real shape you're in. You know, we just have a, I'm going to say, a habit of when somebody says, how you doing? That's a loaded question, right? You don't really want to know how I'm doing if I'm fixing to tell you. So we have a pat answer. I'm fine. Now, we're lying, because ain't none of us fine. No, we got things going on. There are problems. And I don't know anybody in this world that doesn't have problems. They're everywhere. And yet, I recognize that problems are a sign of life. Now, the only place that I know where people no longer have any problems is at the cemetery. And I have concluded here that if problems are a sign of life, and you tell me you don't have any problems, if I were you, I'd go home and ask God for a problem, because you may be on your way out and you don't know it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, come on, God, don't you trust me anymore? Give me a few problems. I'm ready to solve them. Well, that's what life is all about, solving problems. And it's about coming to good conclusions and how to go about solving them and making those applications in my life. Think positive about what your problems are. Work on the solution. Make a plan that can make it happen. Be sure you include God in on this, because that's the only way it's going to turn out the right way. Every problem I don't remember who said this to me a long time ago. I heard some other speaker speaking this, and they said, every problem, or in every problem, there is a seed to a successful solution. You know, if you work hard enough, you can find one. I want to give you another little piece of advice. Stay away from negative people. Negative people just bring you down. Get around some positive folks that'll help build you up. Just how much is much? You remember that woman that was giving there at the temple? And the one fellow who went in and clanged the ringing bell and let as much money fall in that just sort of impressed people? And here come a widow dug with just a mite. She threw it in there, and of course I don't imagine it even had a good ring to it. One coin, that would probably not do too much. And they asked Jesus, how much is much? He said, well, if a man who has a lot, he hand throws in a lot, he said, that's not much. But this woman has thrown in little and has thrown in all she has. All I'm trying to say to you is that you see, having a bunch of things is not necessarily the answer to God's great blessing to you. Solving your problem or difficulties is God's blessing to you. I had a friend one time told me this story. It happened to him, not to me. He was looking for a job. He needed one in a bad way. He showed up at a place that they were taking the interviews, and when he got there, there was a big long line of folks sitting out in the waiting area to be called in to go have an interview. So when he went up to the receptionist at the desk to register his name in, he scribbled a little note and said, could you see that the boss man gets this right away? She said, sure. She said, it's important that he gets this soon. So she carried it right on in. He signed in. Pretty soon the folks just came, kept filing through until it was his turn. And he went in. And the man said, are you the guy that handed me this note or sent this note to me? He said, yeah. He said, you're hired. He said, don't you want to look at my resume or don't you want to know what? Nope. He said, you're just the right kind of guy I'm looking for. You want to know what the note said? Don't do anything till you talk to me. That's the truth. That's a true story. Don't do anything until you talk to me. He was going to solve his problem. He had a big problem. There were a lot of people who wanted that job. He was letting the boss know that he wanted it worse. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, sing them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. It's amazing when you see what God has done in your life. Number two, live one day at a time. Now this is biblical because I want you to remember that over in the book of James, we have this passage of scripture, you see, that reads like this. Come now, you who say that today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in our business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and also do this or do this. You don't have tomorrow as a promise. Not a one of you in here. And it has absolutely nothing to do with how old you are. You and I both know lots of people that you were just shocked to hear that they're gone. Age is not necessarily what it is. So we don't have the promise of tomorrow. You remember that on TV a long time ago, they used to have an old commercial on there about a mechanic, and he was trying to sell preventative maintenance to engines in your car, and his phrase was, you can pay me now. Everybody knows what the rest of it was, right? Or you can pay me later. Have you ever been caught up in that situation, Joe? Yeah, you could have paid him then, but now you're having to pay him now. Yeah, we've all been there. That's a lesson in life we have to learn for ourselves. It's the idea of living one day at a time. And yet all of us are anxious or worrisome about tomorrow. Jesus said tomorrow has enough problems of its own. Solve today's problems. Live in the day, because you're not promised tomorrow. Take care of what's happening right now. Be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Well, what does that say? Pray about it. Yeah, that's another one of the points. Pray about it. Let God know about what you're struggling with. And verse 7 then says, and the peace of God, which passes all comprehension or understanding, if you got a King James, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm just like you. I believe it's wrong to worry, but I worry. I'm confessing it. Pray for me. It's a hard thing not to be worried about things, anxious about things. God is trying to get us to depend on Him. And yet I recognize it's not right. Pray and do not worry about it anymore. Let God work it out. How many times do you need to pray about your vacation trip? How many times you need to pray about that? And yet that's where we are a lot of times. About many different things. Is it that we think God didn't hear it the first time? Are we trying to convince ourselves? Well, what really is it? I mean, if you've asked God about it and you've prayed to God about it, does He need to know it again? Well, I understand you just want to be sure He doesn't forget. That's what I do. I pray about it over and over again. I try to make sure that I put in there that I want your will to be done. I wonder if God doesn't get tired and said, okay, I heard you, Doug. Bob, I heard you. Yeah, you've probably heard about some of those attitudes of don't worry, be happy. Anybody know that? Yeah, don't worry, be happy. Well, most of us think that's a foolish person. I just don't know about that. Maybe they have more faith than we do. I'm going to encourage you to do this. I know that you won't. But I'm going to say it anyway. Tomorrow, I want you to leap out of bed. For some of you, that'll be a tussle. I want you to take your morning breath and kiss your partner. Just kiss your spouse. They'll get over that stale smell. You don't have to run to the sink and brush and floss and drink something to make your breath. Just reach over there and kiss them. Tell your family, or whatever that might amount to be, to give you, you're going to give God your very best tomorrow. Can God ask for anything else? I think that's what God is asking us to give, is to give our best. To do the best we can. I don't think He's asking us to do beyond what we can. I think He's asking us to do what we can. Tell God you're going to give Him your best tomorrow. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we say it. We ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Yeah. What power is at work in you? It ought to be Jesus Christ. Do it each day. I'm challenging you to do that. See if that doesn't make a difference in your life if you pray that way each and every day. Live one day at a time. You're not promised Monday morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all that God has talked about prior to that in the Sermon on the Mount, He's simply saying, will be yours. In other words, look for God's kingdom. Look for a way to serve in His kingdom. Quit worrying and being anxious about whether or not you're going to be fed or whether or not you got the roof over your head. Let God take care of you because He has promised that He would do so. I dreamed death came just the other night. Heaven's gate swung wide. With kindly grace, an angel ushered me inside. There to my astonishment stood folks I judged and labeled as unfit and of little worth. Indignant words came to my lips, but never were set free. For every face shone stunned surprise. Not one expected me. We're so busy trying to judge what other people are doing, we don't think about ourselves. Get yourself on the right track. Live today for Jesus Christ. And let Him have His guide. And worry about tomorrow, if you want to use that word. Tomorrow. When you get up, after you've leaped out of bed, kissed your spouse, told him you're going to be the best you can be for God today, see if that doesn't change your life. There's no real great secret here. And then the third thing I'm going to encourage you with today, this morning, is learn how to say, I love you. Now, some of us are just not good at it. In fact, some of us have a lot of trouble with saying it and have a lot of trouble with showing it. I'm so glad that my God loved me. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For He didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather that the world through Him might be saved. There's a lot of preaching goes on that says, you know, if you break this one rule, you're out. I don't know whether you can make it or not. I'm going to tell you, I don't serve that God. The God I serve is the God of grace. I'm not trying to tell you that He's not expecting me to do my best. I've just told you, do your best. But learn to be a person of love. And be unafraid and unashamed to show other people that you do. Smile at them. You know, it's one of the greatest things about being a Christian. One of the things I love about being a preacher, I can stick out my hand to shake one hand, and I'm in trouble because I'm going to have to shake other people's hands. I hope you're not a germophobic. You're going to be in trouble unless you bring you some rubber gloves. If that's what it takes, get it. If you grin at some folks, there are going to be some folks grinning back at you. You're going to think you're in a school of possums. Am I right about that? The only thing missing is we ain't hanging upside down. Well, maybe some of us are. We're just not telling everybody. I'm telling you that that sounds so simple, it's too hard to believe it's true, but it is true. Isn't that what Jesus came on this earth to do? He came to say, I love you. I love you. I love you enough, I want your soul to be saved. I love you enough, I want you to be fed. I love you enough, I want you to be taken care of. Say it to your spouse. Say it to your children. Say it to your parents. Say it to the elders. Say it to your friends. Say it to the people that are not your friends. Yeah, you'll probably get some strange looks. That's okay. You'll get some criticism. That's okay. Tell them you love them. You're praying for them. You're thinking about them. People in this world are dying to have other people love them and care about them. Amen. You know it's true because it's what you want. Somebody told me one time this is the way to get rid of your preacher. He was a fellow by the name of Alan Bryan. I don't know how many of you know him or not. He preached like this. I always wondered when that was going off. A lot of people said, "What? Would you quit using that gun for a symbol up there to preach with?" And he was one of those kind of people that would just say, "Oh, don't bother me." He says, "You may not agree with me, but you'd be dead wrong." That was his favorite saying. And I guess he was proving the dead thing by pointing the gun at him. I don't know. He said, "This is the way. You want to get rid of your preacher? You tired of that guy?" He said, "Encourage him. He'll work himself to death." Said, pay him a decent salary. He's bound to eat himself to death. Offer to try to help him. He'll just die on the floor in shock with a heart attack. Or actually help him build a good congregation and a large church to come along and take him away from you. Made a lot of sense. Learn to tell people you love them. And then be a giver, not a taker. Well, we got the giving tree. We passed the hat a while ago. One of people's first complaints is, go down to their church, all they want is get your money. You're right. We'll take all of it if you got it. Just bring it on down with you. We'll be glad to. Why? Because we want to see more good be done. Is that right? We want to see people who don't have to be able to have a little something. Be a giver in this world and not a taker. Everybody wants to know, what's the church going to do for me? Well, hey, what are you going to do for the church? What are you going to do for the body of Christ? What are you going to do to help other people out here who need to hear the word of God? Malachi used to put it this way in chapter 3. He said, would a man rob God? What a ridiculous question. How could you possibly rob God? And yet he said, you have robbed me. You've robbed me in your tithes and in your offerings. You are cursed with a curse, he said. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And then he gives them a challenge in verse 10 of Malachi 3 by saying, bring in all of the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me, that means test me, now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, how many of you have lived long enough to have already seen that happen in your life? Give, and you will get. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Heaped up. pressed down. Anybody in this room ever pick cotton? Now, you all think I'm just an old city boy because I'm wear a suit and stuff. I was raised as a country boy. And out in Bakersfield, California, they have duck down all over the road. Right, Rosemary? My grandpa took me to the field plenty of time. And he always gave me an option. Now, the first option was, do you want to pick a row or whole row? You want to pick a bag or pick a row or whole row? Well, I thought hoe and a row, that was not going to be for me, Jack. I said, no way. I'm not getting them things over here on my, no. I'm going to pick a bag. Well, I got that bag filled up. It didn't take me long to get it done either, Mitchell. I mean, I put it all in there. I took it over to Grandpa. You know what he did? He said, what are you doing? He said, that bag ain't full, boy. It was about that much in it down there. I thought it was full. I had to get back and get busy. I did not make that mistake again. And thank God for those pickers, picking machines. Praise the Lord. Bring that baby on. But hoe in a row. You know, once you get a few calluses, why that's not all that hard, really. But it's good hard work. God will bless you. And when he says it is heaped up, running over, I always picture my grandpa pushing the cotton down in the sack. That's the way God gives back to us. That's being the friend of God. James chapter 4, I'm not going to go over there and preach over there because, well, there's just a whole lot of preaching there. But he tells us the reason we have not is because we ask not and because we ask for the wrong things. Quit asking all the questions. Give the money. Let God bless you. Because I guarantee you He will. He will open up the windows of heaven, the likes of which you will not be able to receive. Hey, you all know the answer to this question. If you sow sparingly, you will reap. Oh, I love it. See, you already got the lesson. That means you want to sow abundantly, right? Grandpa said you're going to be cheap. Don't be cheap with the seed, son. You buy that cheap seed, you're not going to get all that bumper crop. Sow bountifully, reap bountifully. That's what God does for us. Be a giver, not a taker. It is the principle of prosperity. You just, when you go to leave today, stick your hand out and grin at somebody and some other grinning, handshaking fool will grab it. Trust me, it's the way it works. Have you ever noticed that sometimes we're just not able to receive blessings? How many of you are raising children? How many of you raise children? Y'all are just uncooperative. Get your hands up. Did you ever have a child that didn't want to hear what you had to say? Was it because what you had to say wasn't right? No. It's because they didn't want to hear it. Am I right about it? They didn't want to hear it. You think God ever says things to us that we don't want to hear? You got to learn to receive the blessing. God says, what I tell you, what I teach you, will bless you. You want to be blessed in this world, you learn to be a giver and not a taker. Learn to say, I love you. Live one day at a time. Count your blessings. E.W. McMillan has a very wonderful place in my heart. One of my mentors. He said this, I wrote it down, I'm so glad I did because I've had to go back and read it 3 or 4 times because I forgot it. I think I have it where I won't forget it anymore. And I know he's not the first person who ever said it, but he said it, I heard it, I wrote it down. The only treasures you ever keep are the ones you give away. Let it sink in. The only treasure you'll ever keep is the one you give away. We're talking about abundant. We're talking about superior. We're talking about lavish. We're talking about plentiful living. The kind of living that all of us want to have. Rule number 5, quickly, be a miner of human good. Quit looking at people and picking at their faults. And look at them and find what's good in them. You remember Nathaniel sitting under the tree? I'm just going to use just one little illustration. He sat under the tree and they came and they said, we want to tell you about the Savior. He's come. He's here. He's from Nazareth. He said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And when they took Nathaniel over to Jesus, Jesus said to him, oh yeah, you're Nathaniel, aren't you? You're that fellow over there under the tree. And he went, what? Oh, you thought I was somebody that couldn't be any good because I'm from Nazareth. No, that's not what he said. Jesus said, here is a man who speaks what he's saying. This is an honest man. This is a man who says what his thought is. He didn't say he was a lousy person because he run down Jesus because he was from Nazareth. He said he was a good person for saying what was on his mind. At least we know what he thinks. Isn't that right, Jack? It's people that you don't know what they're thinking that you're going, Be a miner of human good. Don't be picking on their faults. Look at the things that are good about them. Now, I know that that's hard sometimes, but it can be done. Jesus went about doing what? Acts 10, verse 38. He went about doing good. He went about making treasures out of trash. Pray every day. That's number 6. Our time is gone for this morning. I'm going to let you go. Hey, I gave you the perfect opportunity. I love to preach some more about that, but I want you to know that everything, Philippians 4 and verse 6, that you bring to God, John 14 and verse 14, anything that you ask of God. Are you with me? Everything you bring to God and anything you ask of God. And in Matthew 21 and verse 22, Jesus says, all things whatsoever you say unto me, that will I do. Now, did you get those words? Those words are everything, anything, all things. If you pray about it. If you're here today, you need God to help you. Well, that's number 7. And I don't know if I put number 7 on there, Ben. I'm going to steal it from Nike. Do it now. Do it today. Start today. See how bad my memory is? I didn't know whether I put that on there or not. Do it now. Start grinning today, counting those blessings, living a day at a time. Smile at folks, encourage them. You can do it. God will bless you because of it.